Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, beloved God. Thank you for joining us today. As we begin to pray and seek God, but I just want to wish my little cousin, Herschel, that he have a speedy recovery and that everything go well. And just pray that God just work a miracle in his life. And we're here to give God praise and give him thanks. Because he's worthy. Now I do know that there's a lot of things going on in our lives. There's pain and sorrow, resentment. Try to understand why this and why that and what's really going on. But when you look at it in the positive, what is saying or being presented here is that we need to seek the one who knows what's going on. See, our God knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. And that's why we have to go to him and ask him what's going on. We need to go before him and make our petitions known to him. He said, you have not because you ask not. Now, I do understand that he knows what we need, but what he's doing, he's trying to develop a relationship with us, and we with him. It's all about communicating. It's all about talking, and that's what he wants to do. He wants us to come to him, and he will answer us, and he will show us great and mighty things that we don't know. See, we serve a great God. We serve a mighty God. Our God is an awesome God. And we have seen that stuff is bad. And we see no one able to fix it. In other words, when everything has gone to its extreme, that's when it's just right for God. So whatever your situation is, whatever your problem is, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you don't understand, ask him. You know, the Bible calls him the Comforter, and I've known him to be that, and I know so many of you have known him to be that, a comforter. A comforter is one who will comfort you, and it doesn't matter how hard it seems or how hard it is. He will comfort you in that situation. He will bless you, and he will release you from what you've been captive by. See, that's what God is for. That's what he created us to be. People that goes to him, talks to him, make our petitions known to him, because he knows that we're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. There's some things that's going to hit us that's going to really hurt. But he's the comforter to come in. And it's like he puts his arms on your shoulder. And like he whispers in your ear, and he say, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. I've got this. I've got you. But beloved God, we have to put ourselves in that place. See, some of us think that God is sitting in heaven with his arms folded, just waiting for us to sing it. No, no, no. He could have done that without sending his son down to die on the cross. He didn't have to do that. No, he put some things in place so that we could get in place with him so we can call to him and he will answer us and he will show us great and mighty things that we don't know. Let me tell you something. Some of you are wringing your hands. Some of you have your head in your hands. Some of you are on the very verge of committing suicide and saying life is just not worth it. But I'm here to let you know, beloved God, yes, it is. God gave you life. But now all you have to do is to give your life to him, commit it to him. Oh, he gave you life. But all you have to do is commit your life to him. That's all you have to do. Some of you saying, well, look, I've done so bad. I've messed up so bad. God can't deal with me. You know, I don't want to take my stuff before God because I've been so bad. Well, as I just told you, your extremity, you've gone to your extreme, is God's opportunity. Yes, you found out that you are a failure. That was to be proven, that you are a failure. You can't fix your problem as you think that you can. But he can. And that's why we need to go to him, talk to him, and bless his name. You can't blame anybody because there's a way out. People may have treated you wrong, and no doubt they have. They said some things that have cut you to the core. I'm talking about a deep wound. But that wound can be healed. That wound is healed when you go to him and cry out to him. Because he will do some good things in your life. See, we serve a great God. We worship a great God. He is who he says he is. Oh, he's not some figment of some man's imagination or a woman's imagination. He's real, and he's alive, and he's alive forevermore. I want you to listen to something. I just want to read something. Listen to this. I'm going to read something from the book of Luke, the fourth chapter. I'm going to read 1 through 18. We're going to pray. But I want to read this because you're hurting. You're hurting. And see, I'm going to show you and read to you about a man, the one I'm talking about right now, Jesus Christ, who went through some things by the devil. He went through some things by the devil, and he understands about what we're going through. But here's what I want you to hear. Listen. And Jesus, this is in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and I'm reading from the King James Version. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it shall be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into the high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power or authority will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you therefore will worship me, all shall be yours. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to a
Jerusalem and set him up on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time you shall dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all temptations, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for the read. Now, the devil tempted him. The devil tried to get him to walk away from the Father. Now, some of you that may be listening right now may not even be to the Father yet, but this is why we're here. Because Satan is putting, I call it sport. He sports us. In other words, you know how you get into sport, you try to beat something, and what happens, he's sporting us. We're not beating him, but he's beating us. And all but the only way that you can beat him is by the word, by the Lord being born again. And he puts sports on. But now, being born again, we can put sport on him. And see, that's what happened. He was coming to beat up Jesus, go offer him this, go to antagonize him, agitate him. Now, we know what the end results of that. We know that when what happened is that Jesus had to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. But we know that he became victorious over all the powers of the devil. And he has given us power over the devil. Now, going back in verse 17, and there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And this is to you, beloved God, you that are listening. This is to you right now, because wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, God has you. God has not forgotten about you. God just wants you to call unto him, and he will answer you, and he will show you great and mighty things that you have no idea that he can do. That's the God that we serve. That's the God who created us. Even though we were born in sin, even though we were shaped in iniquity, still he sent us the last Adam, 1 Corinthians 15:45, to bring us back to that relationship that we need with him. Now listen to this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Poor in spirit. Poor in everything. Can't achieve. But he came to preach the gospel to us. And every one of us was in that situation. Every person on this earth was in that situation at one time. But some of us heard the gospel. Some of us began to walk in the word of God. We began to ask the Lord, Lord, come into my life. Change my life. Make everything about me brand new. I repent and ask you to forgive me for my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. This is the God that we serve. But then he said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You're downcast. Your heart is broken. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. You're trying to say, my God, what's going on with me? And then you come to the place of me asking yourself, is there a God? Where is God? All you have to do is call him. And then another thing you need to do is commit. Commit yourself to him. You want his help? Commit yourself to him.
That's all.
That's all you got to do. It doesn't matter where you are. All you have to do right now is to commit yourself to him. Mean what you say. Say what you mean. And I guarantee you that he will abundantly pardon you. Your heart won't be broken any longer. And then even after you get saved, Satan will try to break it. But all you got to do is still, okay, I remember the first time. I'm going right back to him. I'm talking to him. I'm calling to him. But most of the time, you really understand what's going on when you get born again. You understand it when you become born again. As you begin to grow in grace. But he said, I come to heal the brokenhearted. I come to preach deliverance to the captives. Who are the captives? The captives are those who are spiritually incarcerated by the devil. In sin, can't get out. Or it seems that they can't get out. But we serve the true and the living God. And he set the captives free. Even spiritually incarcerated, jailed by the devil. In darkness, you're doing what he wants you to do. And you have some believing that they can't do any better. But I'm here to tell you, beloved God, if God has designated you to listen to this broadcast, there's hope. This is a word that's in your hearing. And I, right now, you, the listener, that may be bound or in captive to the devil, I rebuke that spirit right now. And I stand in agreement with you if you want to be delivered. And I rebuke that spirit right now that you are no longer a captive. Now, you have made up in your mind and have come to that conclusion that you know you need the true and the living God. Then he said, and recovering of the sight to the blind. But let me go back a minute and talk about the captive. Once you are free, spiritually incarcerated, and God has freed you, you walk out. You set at liberty. You're free. Don't go back into it. Because if you go back into it, there's a greater stronghold than what the first stronghold were. The state of your being is going to be worse than what it was before. So stay free. And then it said, and recovering sight to the blind, not only the natural blind, but mostly talking about the spiritual blind. See, you can walk with your eyes wide open and still be blind. Not see things right there in front of your eyes. And I know this because when I was a sinner, I was crazy. Had a lot of good things before me, but didn't know it until I became born again. My eyes came open. And it was so devastating. I'm saying, why didn't I see this? But the reason I didn't see it, because I was spiritually blind. And I don't want to walk in blindness any longer. I don't. I want to see where I'm going. I want to see the people in my life. The people that I used to be abused and used, I found out that they were really good people. But me not seeing what I supposed to be seeing because I was walking up under the influence of the devil in darkness, in blindness, I couldn't see it. And that taught me something about the devil. As I learned more, it taught me more about the devil because, see, the only thing he wants me to do is be down. He never wants me to be up. Then it said, he come to set at liberty them that are bruised. Let's look at a bruise as being a mark on your body. And bruise also is something that's happening up under the skin. A blood disorder or something that's happening up under the skin. But let's think about the things that are happening in your life. Just talk about the things that is happening in your life. Or just think about the things that have happened in your life that were really devastating. It may be an incest. It may have been same sex or either been opposite sex. Mental abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse. It could have been all those things. And you seem to can't be free. because you have people right now who are walking around full of resentment, hate, because of their situation. But he can deliver you from that. He can cut, he can set you free from that. And that's what we're going to be praying about. Then he said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Beloved God, hear me. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is it. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Tomorrow, today, yesterday was the accepted year of the Lord because we need to be saved. We need to walk in the power of our God. People are hurting. And some don't understand why. Some don't know why. There's hidden sin in people's lives or strongholds in people's lives, and they don't know what the stronghold is. That's why come to preaching the gospel is very important. It's very important because sin reveals what's hidden. I mean, the gospel reveals the sin that is hidden. Because sin loves to hide. And see, a lot of people think the gospel condemns. But that's not the truth. The gospel reveals that which does condemn so that a person can get free from it. Because the Bible said that we, if we're not saved, we are condemned already. Now listen to this. In the book of Hebrews, I want you to understand a little bit of something about what Jesus did on the cross and why he did what he did on the cross. In the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verses 12 through 16, he said, for the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why it's very important, beloved, that we preach the word of God. Person, even to the divider of sunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. See, it divides the spirit and the soul, and of the joints and marrow. In other words, bring forth healing. The word of God brings forth healing. The word of God splits the spirit and the soul, because they're two different entities. The spirit is where God dwells. The soul is where you make the decision. That's you. The Bible said that reveals the intents of the heart, the thoughts of it, and the intents of the heart. But he said, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Everything, he sees everything, but all he wants us to do is to come unto him. And then it goes on in verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Beloved God, what have you going through? What you are dealing with right now, God want to work with you. He's not there with his arms folded and waiting for you to mess up. We've already messed up. He's trying to make us right. He wants us to come to him and make it right. Are you ready? Are you ready? So go back and read this. Or think about the things that are happening in your life. I don't know. I know what happened in mine. But I got it straight. I got it right. And I want you to do likewise. But now we're going to the throne of grace. Read those scriptures. Luke 4, 1 through 18. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. Read those scriptures. God will bring forth healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you and we praise you now. We ask you, God, to have your way, moved by your spirit. Lord, those that are going under surgery or going into surgery under the knife, I pray, God, they come out better than what they went in, that they have good health, and that everything works together for their good. And, Father, there's also other things. Sin have people captive. Satanic forces have taken people captive at his will or their will. And people don't know how to get free. But I pray, Father, that those that are under the sound of my voice, that they understand now that they can be free. I rebuke any interference over this internet, every foul spirit that try to interfere with this ministry on the internet, as they listen to the word of God and hear me precise, and to know that God is a healer, that God is a deliverer, and that God will keep them if they just accept him. Father, we thank you. Run through their homes, Lord. Let your spirit or let your glory fill their place. Essence of your presence. Manifested love. Have your way. Deal with them according to your will. You know what they're dealing with. And I have that spirit to try to keep them from repenting, to keep them from doing what they're supposed to do. I rebuke that now in Jesus' name. I pray, God, they get some insight in their spirits to understand what's going on. They need your help. They're crying out. And you're right there willing to bless them. You right there to try to take them, waiting to try to take them out of the situation. All you are doing are waiting, because you're not going to override their will. Some may not say it verbally, but some may say it inwardly. And you can hear them because you know them. And I pray, Father, that you work that miracle in their life. I thank you. And all of our lives, Lord, we need you. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being the great I am. Thank you for being the source that we need, someone who loves us unconditionally. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. We honor you because you're worthy to be praised. Lord, my brother, my sister, God, they just need your hand. You're right there. You said in your word that you're not only a God afar off, but mostly you're a God at hand, close by, your arm length. You're right there with us, right in our face. You're right there in our faces. And all we have to do is call unto you. And we have to override the dictates of the flesh and call unto you, and you will answer us. And you will show us great and mighty things that we don't know. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Lift you up because you are worthy to be praised. We thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You have listened to the broadcast. You can write us or email us at osministry01@gmail.com. Or you can call us at 252-525-1537. And I want you to be blessed of God. And I want you to stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made you free and never again be entangled with the yoke of bondage. Love you much. Talk to you next time. God bless you.